Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producers, Aaron Zommers and Jeff Perry. It is Monday, June 5th, 2023. Welcome to hour number two of the big show. Welcome your calls. If you want to call in and chat just a little bit here before we bring on our next guest, new number for you. If you've been with us in the mornings, our afternoon number statewide now, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Or if you want to get really cute, it's 844-96-PARTY. P-A-R-T-Y. 844-96-PARTY. As we join now the Civic Media statewide network. Glad to have you along with us. If you normally tune in at 2 o'clock looking for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, Luke can now be found at noon with Will on the basically 12:15 to 1 o'clock. The new Town Hall program, analyzing the day's news, taking your calls. You can still catch Luke every afternoon from 12:15 until 1 o'clock. And even better, I'll say better. We're still going to keep the Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Luke Mathers joins us tomorrow on the show live. We'll catch up. Luke's been on a little vacation. He got a little sun. I'm happy for him. He looks tan, rested, and ready. Moving more into a news role here at Civic Media. So can't wait to have Luke on tomorrow on Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Coming up this hour, we are going to talk to Matt DeFore. He is the State Bureau Chief and the reporter. Phoebe Petrovic from Wisconsin Watch made a little news themselves, or at least on the Twitter this weekend, as the National Review, a conservative institute, lots of conservative folks there, a little ticked off at the truth. We like to say on this program, pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. Wisconsin Watch is a lot like that. Wisconsin Watch kind of got into under the skin of these conservatives, and Matt DeFore wasted no time in saying, here's what really is happening. So we're going to talk to them about public and private schools, taxpayer money, and what has conservatives ticked off. Some great reporting by Wisconsin Watch, and we'll talk to them coming up. And then later on this hour, National Cheese Day was yesterday. What's your favorite cheese? And who is your favorite cheese maker? We'll talk later in this hour about that. Right now, let's go to the phones. Stephen in Green Bay, one of our fine callers in the morning, has transitioned over to the afternoon. We appreciate that, Stephen. What is on your mind on this Monday?
Well, first, I got to say, welcome to the Green Bay radio market. It is nice to be able to turn on my car radio and hear Tyler Albaugh come over the radio wave. So
we're excited. We are absolutely excited to be on WGBW. That's 97.9 FM and 1590 AM in Green Bay, Stephen. Happy to be there.
So this is just what I have to say. It's a little bit of a tangent because this used to be dueling tangent times here on WGBW.
Sure.
Are the Republicans trying to be the most unattractive as they can? And what I mean by when I say that is the people they're putting up and running for president. It seems like if you had a lineup of, you know, bad dates and each date just got a little bit worse, that would be the Republican lineup right now for president.
That's not a bad analogy. It's kind of like speed dating for president, right? And the first big speed date is going to be in August down in Milwaukee, as it was announced last week that the Republican National Committee has decided times and dates there for that first debate down in Milwaukee. I'll tell you who it's not going to include. Breaking this afternoon on CNN, CNN's Dana Bash interviewing New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, saying that he is not going to run. And Chris Sununu thought to be, you know, if you want to say there's still a moderate Republican left, Chris Sununu might have been it, and he is out. So it seems like a lot of Trump light is going to be on the stage in Milwaukee in August.
Well, Todd, I think we figured out why he is not running. Because you said he's the closest to a moderate Republican. And let's be honest, Why would you put a Republican up that an independent might vote for? That would make too much sense. But this is also a thought that I had.
Sure.
I find it very interesting as a Democrat that the Republicans picked one of the most, if not the most, liberal city in the state of Wisconsin to host their convention. And I hope that they just get swarmed by the left and independents in Milwaukee.
Well, thanks.
That would make my day very much.
We appreciate you calling, Stephen. We appreciate listening to us in the afternoon. I agree. I don't find it, it's no surprise to me at all, because whether you're Republican or Democrat, most pundits will agree that Wisconsin is going to be the fulcrum point once again for the presidential race in 2024. Whoever wins Wisconsin very likely could win the presidency in 2024. So whether they like it or not, Republicans cannot disregard Wisconsin going into the next cycle. Stephen, we appreciate you calling. Keep listening to us up there on WGBW in Green Bay, and have a great day.
Have a good one, Todd.
All right, thank you so much. Stay with us as Matt DeFoor, who is the state bureau chief for Wisconsin Watch, said this over the weekend. Says National Review is falsely attacking Wisconsin Watch's nonpartisan reporting on discrimination in publicly funded voucher schools. He says this is a classic conservative machine circling the wagons to avoid introspection. Unfortunate on either side of the aisle. He's got a great point here. Seems like conservatives don't always like the truth. We're pursuing truth wherever it may lead. And by the way, we're having fun doing it, or we're trying. Stay with us. We have Matt DeFore and also Phoebe Petrovic from Wisconsin Watch on the Todd Allbolt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 15 past the hour of 2 o'clock, hour number 2 of the big show, now in the afternoon, statewide across the Civic Media Radio Network. The Abbott Brothers there, one of my favorite groups, by request by our next guest, at least one of them. He is the State Bureau Chief of Wisconsin Watch, Matt DeFoor, and one of the reporters at Wisconsin Watch. Phoebe, I'm going to go out on a limb. Is it Phoebe Petrovic?
Petrovic.
Oh, I had a chance. I had a chance, but no, sadly no. Sorry about that. I apologize.
Way back when it was that.
So Phoebe Petrovic, one of the reporters at the Wisconsin Watch, is also joining us. Before we get to that, a couple of quick news breaking headlines from CBS at this hour. Robert Hansen, a former FBI agent convicted of spying for Russia, was found dead in his prison cell this afternoon at age of 79. And also for our listeners on a WMDX in Madison, multiple agencies right now are battling a house fire outside of Black Earth. Dane County dispatchers say no one is injured so far as reports come in this afternoon, but may want to avoid that area outside of Black Earth where authorities are fighting a house fire. We are thinking of our firefighters, first responders, and of course, those affected. Affected across the state of Wisconsin. This is a great issue, guys. I'm really appreciative of both of you for coming on today, because it doesn't matter whether in Milwaukee or Madison or Richland Center, Amory, Hayward, Green Bay, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, all of us, or those that have kids, are sending their kids to school, whether it's public or the private school. And Matt, let's start with you, because that's where all this whole thing kind of came. I follow you on Twitter. And over the weekend, the National Review came out attacking your organization and the work of Wisconsin Watch, and in particular, perhaps an article from Phoebe. Well, what was your first what happened there, and what was your reaction to it?
So we're pretty fiercely nonpartisan at Wisconsin Watch, and the tenor of this opinion piece from National Review, which again, they didn't contact us for any comment. This is not a news article from them. This is just commentary. You know, they very clearly were trying to label our reporting as left-wing, progressive, and that's not our mission. That's not what we do at Wisconsin Watch. We do investigative reporting. We do it in a nonpartisan way. We reach out to the other side on an issue, both sides of the issue. And so we really wanted to make sure that that was clear. And so I you know, I saw their story and I retweeted it and said, you know, this is a classic example of when the conservatives feel threatened by the truth or a story that comes out that they don't like, rather than address the issue. In this case, it's discrimination against vulnerable groups in Wisconsin among students. They attack the reporters. They attack the news organizations. It's a strategy that's been in place for decades, and I don't think the public should be fooled by it. So I wanted to make sure that they were aware of what was going on.
Phoebe, great job reporting. Because I'm an old man, I print things out still and read them. But a story is called Unwanted and Unwelcomed, Anti-LGBTQ Plus Policies Common at Wisconsin Voucher Schools. Explain to our listeners a little bit about what the thrust of this article was and how you came to report on it.
Sure. So this is actually the third and final installment in a three-part series that I did looking at voucher schools. It was a larger series that we've looked at discrimination in schools more broadly with my coworker and co-reporter Mario Caron. But this story in particular was the final installment where I was looking at the policies, statements of faith that pertain to LGBTQ students who are enrolled at voucher schools. So this story that I undertook was revealing the status quo that's been around for decades. Wisconsin has tried and failed to ban discrimination against disabled students or students who are LGBTQ at voucher schools three times. It's always died in committee. So we got a tip that said, hey, you might want to look into this system that's been around for a long time, but you know, it's kind of hiding in plain sight, where unless you are a student who maybe was forced to go to a voucher school that is religious by your parents and your parents don't know that you are gay or transgender, you might not know that your tax dollars are supporting private schools that can act differently or discriminatorily against LGBTQ or disabled students in a way that would be illegal in a public school. So I got a tip sort of about the system and just started looking at the laws, and then just literally went to a database on DPI's website that has all of the schools participating in the CHOICE program, which is the voucher program this year, and started going through the list and just seeing what I can find. And most schools have their handbooks publicly available on the website, and it's just there in the handbooks themselves saying, you know, we think it's a sin to be gay or transgender, and if you come out, we may discipline you or expel you.
I think you hit on the key for me is, and I think maybe a lot of Wisconsinites don't realize this or remember it, but ironically, it was back during Tommy Thompson, a Republican, when he was governor, and Republicans at the time, who kind of changed this whole funding mechanism that said, hey, you can take the state tax dollars your kid gets and go out of the public schools and take it to a private school, a religious school, and use that state tax money there to go to that school. So we're not talking about an issue where this is just a private school with private funding that can do what they want. These are students who are funded with our tax dollars going to this private school. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, and that was really the thrust of the article and tried to be of the reporting. It was super interesting. I actually got responses from several students who were enrolled at one of the voucher schools who were very angry with the portrayal of their school in the story when I simply was reporting what their policy is. And, you know, some of them said this was a violation of their freedom of religion and freedom of speech. And I tried to emphasize with them, this is about the fact that the school is publicly funded, subsidized by public tax dollars. So if you were just a private school, totally private and independent, you know, we've got decades of litigation to say that that is a separate issue and you can sort of act how you want. It's when the public comes in. And some of these schools, 32 of them in Wisconsin, they're 100% funded on vouchers.
Wow.
There's 87 that are 90% to 100%.
I don't mean to cut you off for a second. I want to make sure that our listeners get this. You're saying that 32 private schools are funded with public, almost 100% with public tax dollars.
100% of their student body is on vouchers. Yep. And then 87%, which is about one fifth of the voucher schools in Wisconsin, have 90 to 100 of their students on vouchers. And I should say too, you mentioned Tommy Thompson. So Wisconsin is the birthplace of the school choice movement, the voucher movement. Mm-hmm. And when it was initially passed in 1990, and this was in a larger fiscal bill. This wasn't ever voted on sort of independently, but it was limited to secular schools. And since then, it has been expanded to private religious schools, and that's 95% of the choice schools or voucher schools in Wisconsin. And that's where some of this ability to get around Title IX comes in, is because the majority of them, vast majority, are religious.
Matt, that's the irony to me, is that it's the Republicans, even since Tommy Thompson, to Phoebe's point, who have largely pushed for this change and wanting more tax dollars, public dollars, to go into the private school system. Places like the National Review, they know full well what's going on. Yes or no, they're just carping to the base here and trying to make an issue out of nothing.
So the voucher system right now, there's a lot of advocacy going on in the current budget, which is being debated in the Capitol, to increase the amount of public funding going towards voucher students. And if you recall how the voucher program currently works statewide, a student who's in the voucher program is still counted for funding purposes for the public school where they are, where they live. Mm-hmm. That amount is higher than what the voucher is worth. So public schools have been sort of reluctantly embracing the voucher expansion because it's actually a better deal for them financially. Now, at the same time, there's all this discrimination happening with students with disabilities and LGBTQ students. But what's really happening right now is that there is a push to try to get the public to see that gap in funding for private schools versus the fact that they, you know, some of that money goes to public schools, mm-hmm. and to get people to the public to say, hey, that's not fair. We need to get more money to the voucher schools. And I think that's where this whole story coming in. Our story is not part of that debate, just to be clear.
Right.
But they, I think, understand in the conservative movement that stories like ours don't exactly help their cause, especially if they're trying to persuade the Democratic governor, who would be inclined probably to veto any kind of increase in funding for the voucher program anyway. Again, important context for why this ruffled some feathers, I think.
To put it in terms of an old Tennessee judge, I was once in his courtroom, he said, let's put it down there where the chickens can get at it. To put it in just kind of plain speak, right, I think the Republican megaphone, the conservative megaphone is, oh my gosh, this liberal rag is picking on these private schools. These are our religious schools. They're trying to tell us what we can do with our religion. When the reality is, that ain't the case at all.
That, and again, the story is about the, do you support or don't support discrimination against marginalized groups? And it doesn't seem like they're doing it doesn't seem like they want to try to defend discrimination against marginalized groups. Although, interestingly, the National Review article does try to do a little bit of that, which is, I thought, shocking. But anyway,
the story is, I mean, that's what people weighed in on to say. But really, mm-hmm. the story, the investigative reporting that we did was that this is something that is widespread. I'm one person, so I only looked at a third of the voucher schools, but like 50% of them, about 50% of them had some discriminatory practice against LGBTQ or disabled students. So this is not just like one school here or there. And then people can debate about whether or not we as a society think that that is something that we want our tax dollars to support. But I think we did important work just showing that this is a widespread practice. And now what do we do about it?
Well, it's a great reporting, by the way, Phoebe, and your entire, you and the crew there at Wisconsin Watch. But I guess I'm not saying it very well. I'm from Southwest Wisconsin in Richland Center. I've got family that lives up in Shawano, both fairly conservative places. If you go on the street and say, hey, should government intrude in your church? They'd say no. If you say, hey, if someone's receiving state taxpayer money, should the state have a say in it and should it abide by state law? Most of them would say yes. To me, that's kind of what it boils down to. Am I making it too simplistic? Phoebe?
Oh,
sorry.
I think you're more or less on the money there. This is just about these are private institutions that are publicly subsidized and supported, sometimes the entire student body, and yet, which one education scholar has called these schools private in name only, and yet they play by different rules.
I'm laughing only because that's a classic, you know, for years it was Rhino, the moderate Republicans were called Republicans in name only. So now they got Pino, private in name only. That's rich. So what are you, in your reporting, Phoebe, why do you think this pushback from the private schools? They just don't want to be exposed or what?
So some of them blocked my emails.
Wow.
And hung up my calls when I followed up to say, why are you why have you blocked my emails? No one granted an interview. No one wanted to speak about this. No one granted an interview or provided questions. And in fact, some of the organizations that were pushing back on us on Twitter, like the Badger Institute, were saying that I missed a particular policy or perspective when I had asked that specific organization to grant to share their perspective in the story ahead of time, and they ignored me. So, I don't know. That's where the concern comes from. Yeah.
Stay with us. Talking to Matt and Phoebe from Wisconsin Watch on the other side of the break. This is the Todd Allbolt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I have no enemies. I have no enemies.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbolt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 2:33 on the time and temperature sign on a Monday afternoon, the 5th of June, 2023. Our guests this half hour, Matt DeFore, State Bureau Chief, and reporter Phoebe Petrovic from Wisconsin Watch. They have done a remarkable job here, particularly Phoebe, on this reporting on funding for voucher schools in the state of Wisconsin, getting public dollars, because people are able to kind of transfer their dollars now and take it to a voucher school, a private religious school in this case, but not adhering to a lot of the Wisconsin rules of non-discrimination, particularly against LGBTQ plus folks and other things. And great writing, great reporting. And Phoebe, if we were talking over the break here, Matt pointed out you're an award-winning broadcaster now, a journalist, winning a Murrow Award. And in our business, that is no small thing, my friend. That is congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you so much. It was a regional one. We find out about who's the national winner in August. But
still,
yeah, thank you
very
much.
What was the reporting or what was the story that led you to receive the award?
So that was a 7-part investigative narrative podcast called Open and Shut, which explores the power of prosecutors. So there's sort of looking at how many legal scholars argue that prosecutors, not a judge, not a jury, but a prosecutor is actually the most powerful agent in our criminal justice system, because they're the person who brings charges against someone and decides whether or not a person is going to actually be implicated in the criminal justice system. And we explored that dynamic by examining the careers of two Fox Valley prosecutors, one who's now a judge and one who served time in federal prison and is now disgraced. And both of them were sort of mentor and mentee way back when in the Fox Valley. So we looked at a bunch of cases that they handled together and separately. A couple of them, the conviction, or one of them, the conviction was the person was exonerated, and another one, the conviction overturned. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely. See, hearing people like, I mean, Matt's young, but I mean, you're even younger than Matt. I'm an old dude. And to see the talent and the passion for quality journalism and bringing the truth to people, it just warms my heart and it gives me hope for the future. It really does. It's something that we are in sore need of right now in this state and in this country. Real quick, before we go back to the actual subject, what's it like to kind of get your first blowback, or at least to get the, you know, maybe not your first blowback, but to have this sort of, you know, kind of back at you as a reporter?
You know, I'm glad it came on a Friday and then I could kind of check out and have the weekend and not worry about it too much. It's a weird time. It's tough because you want to, you know, you want to explain yourself and clap back at the misleading misrepresentation. So they tried to say that we only cited left-wing sources when, you know, it was a story that was deeply reported based off of the actual handbooks themselves. Mm-hmm. And we gave every opportunity for the schools, the churches, the associations, the pro-voucher organizations to comment, to engage with us. And they declined, some of them, again, blocking my calls. So it's hard to feel like I want to correct the record, but I also, you know, in Elon Musk's internet or Twitter, I don't want to sort of engage and let the trolls come after me. So it also, you know, as a queer woman reporter writing about LGBTQ discrimination, it was a funny thing to get nationally reviewed on the second day of Pride Month, so, as it were.
Right.
But so it goes.
Ironic timing, but important reporting, certainly. Matt, another one of your reporters, Mario Caron, is it Caron or Caron?
Caron, yeah.
Caron, did another story on this same kind of issue with school funding in Wisconsin, this time focusing on the public school side of it and focusing on some of these folks with disabilities, students with disabilities being denied into public schools. So I want to make it clear to our listeners that Wisconsin Watch didn't just look at the private or the voucher school side of elementary education in the state. You looked at the public side too.
Right. So his story looks specifically at the open enrollment program, which is, I guess, part of the umbrella of school choice in Wisconsin. But in this case, this is a public program where students can open enroll from their current district into a different district. But it turns out that it's not quite school choice for everybody, because for students with disabilities, the public school districts can say, well, sorry, we don't have the resources for your student who may have severe issues of mobility or cognitive or learning disabilities. And so we don't have to accept them. And again, the state has that's the current law of the land, and that's perfectly legal under our system. But that doesn't mean people have to sort of sit back and say, well, that's the way things are. So, you know, we as an organization, take our mission and our principles very seriously. And one of those is to protect the vulnerable. And so I think these stories really exemplify the idea that we're trying to look out for the little guy sometimes. We're not just, you know, they're trying to push a specific ideology. It's more about, you know, are there people whose rights are not being treated fairly, or they're being discriminated against? And I think that's what his story and Phoebe's series, you know, the whole package of how school choice Wisconsin maybe isn't so much as much of a choice as some people might think.
Amazing reporting again by your reporter Mario Caron there at Wisconsin Watch. I encourage people to go on and read Phoebe's story and Mario's. In Mario's story, there is an amazing interactive map. And I don't know who put this together, but it goes as every single school district on a map, and you can hover over each district and you can find out if your district is short public financing to help disabled students or not. In Southwest Wisconsin, and the reason I go there is because State Senator Howard Markline in the 17th Senate District, who represents that area, also happens to be the co-chair of the Joint Committee on Finance. There is a $7 billion surplus right now in state funding. And yet you go and you hover over the Reedsburg School District, and there is a shortage of about $2,000 per pupil that local taxpayers are having to make up for disabled kids in that district versus state funding. Don't you think, Matt, that there's some responsibility to the elected officials to make up for this, not just all falling on the locals?
First of all, it's not my, you know, say as to whether it's good or not, but I can tell you the facts. The public school system funds students with disabilities at 30% of what it costs to take care of
30%.
Them. 30%? At 30%. It's one of the lowest rates in the nation. The governor has proposed increasing that to 60%. Currently, if you are a voucher student going to a private school, you have a disability, you still get funded at 90%, and you can be discriminated against. So think about that. I mean, it's... I think people need to understand just the facts of the situation, and then they can form their own opinions.
Well, good. I didn't mean to put you into an opinion mode. That's I guess that's all right. We get so used to asking callers to call with opinions on it. I just, you know, having been behind the scenes at the state capitol, it's appalling to me that, as you say, we're one of the lowest in the country at funding for, and then you get folks with a disabled or a child that has physical needs in this state. And they want to move to a different district for whatever reason. And the district says, well, we can't take the kid because we don't have the teacher or the aide. We don't have the money to hire them. And we might not even be able to hire them because guess what? After Act 10, there's a teaching shortage in this state. Ironically enough, funny how that works. Again, I won't put you into an opinion mode, but for me, for a guy who saw this, some of the stuff behind the scenes, there is a $7 billion surplus, Howard Markline, to fix this if we wanted to.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how they address it. They haven't finalized any of this yet, so we'll see what the Republicans come up with in the budget process. But we know where the governor's sort of what his ante and opening bid is, and it's 60% funding. It seems like we'll see what they do.
Phoebe, in your reporting, in talking to as many local folks and just delving into this, what was your biggest takeaway as a reporter, but also as a person? What did you come away with thinking, man, I just didn't expect that or know that before I started this story?
So I will say that I had no idea that this was the funding structure. And so just as a person who pays my taxes, coming out as someone who does pay my taxes, you know, I was surprised that it goes to private institutions that can treat a student differently depending on once they are enrolled, depending on the needs they have or their identity. But one thing that I don't think that we talk about, but that kept coming over and over, is that the voucher program is called school choice, and it is billed as school choice for parents. But it is the students who are people, humans who are autonomous, who have their own rights, who go to those schools. And so what I've heard consistently is, well, if a family doesn't agree with the teachings of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, then they should not send their child there. Hmm. And one thing that came up over and over again in speaking with students who were sent to those schools by their parents, whose parents didn't know that they were gay, that it wouldn't be safe for them to come out as gay when they were at home, the way that we think about school choice really misses the point. And I had students say, you know, that's why we should think about the discrimination that's allowed, because, you know, a parent is choosing to send their child to this school that has this policy, but that might not be a safe space for the child, whose full identity might not be known to their parents. And so, you know, even students themselves are saying, like, well, if you don't agree, don't go to the school. But, you know, you as a kid might not have the choice as to where you're sent to school. And you might be sent to a school that is unsafe. And, you know, that where you might try to seek help. Like I had we found a complaint sent to the governor, actually, by a student who said, hey, I think there are two gay students at my school who are being discriminated against. I want you, Governor Evers, to do something about this, because this is discrimination and they get funding through school choice. And DPI and the governor's office had to say, I'm sorry, legally there's nothing we can do to help you. And so that piece of just remembering that, like, these students who are at these schools, you know, they might not choose to go there, and they, you know, might have problems being fully out themselves safely at home and at school. And that's a piece that we often miss, I think.
I think there are people across this state right now, parents who might be listening, or grandparents, whomever. Well, this doesn't happen. This isn't a big deal. I will tell you, as someone who has a family of educators, teachers see this, I don't want to say on a daily basis, but certainly on a weekly or monthly basis, where a student confides in that teacher something they haven't told their parents or their guardian. And that teacher becomes not just a teacher, but a support vehicle to try to help that kid. It is an issue all across the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. I mean, Nat Worth, who I featured in the story that we're talking about today, you know, he very deliberately waited until he was 18 to come out of the closet, because he knew that if he came out as a minor, he would not have a legal right to refuse going to conversion therapy. Wow. And he wanted to make sure that he was safe and in a legal position to say no to that traumatic treatment, treatment in big air quotes. You know, and so he was sent to a school. He wanted to go to the public school, but you know, he was sent to the Sheboygan Lutheran instead, and, you know, was sitting through classes where teachers said that he was an abomination without knowing that they were saying that to him. But, you know, he had to deal with that and work through a lot of emotional trauma after the fact.
As someone who didn't come out until they were 38, grew up in a small town in southwest Wisconsin, I can relate to some of this. I think that's what disturbs me, or angers me, or I guess angers, during Pride Month, when it all becomes about some yahoo smashing a display at Target, and we don't talk about stories like this, because these are the things, not to say that those other things don't, but to me, what you're reporting, Phoebe, are the things that kids and young people are facing every day. And by the way, if you need to talk to someone, thanks to Tammy Baldwin, by the way, the number to call, mental health hotline, 988, either your cell phone or any other phone, simply dial or text 988. There is someone standing by to help you talk through things. Before we let you guys go, Matt, I want to make it clear to our listeners, tell folks, you got about a minute and a half left. Let's make clear to people where you receive your funding, and just make this clear, that the structure, to say that you're not being bought and paid for by some lefty organization to do X number of reporting. This is factual, truthful reporting. away. That's it.
So this is part of the focus of the National View thing, and this is something that Wisconsin Watch has been smacked with since for the last decade, whether it's the McIver Institute or the Badger Institute or other conservative outfits in Wisconsin. They do not like the fact that we are a nonpartisan organization that tries to just tell the truth. So they've tried to look at our funding to say, oh, this is clearly part of some kind of liberal cabal. That's not the case. We've taken funding from all different kinds of groups, and it is all listed publicly on our website, unlike many of those same conservative groups who criticize us. The Walton Foundation has given money to us for stories on, you know, education in rural Wisconsin. We've gotten funding from the Joyce Foundation. We've gotten funding from all different sides. So.
Gotta go. Matt, Phoebe from Wisconsin Watch. Great job, you guys. Stay with us. Cheese Curds are next to the Todd Allball Show in Civic Media.
It's payday. We gotta get that cheese.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 2:50 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Zommers dug out one of my favorite tunes we had on the morning show a while back. Tell them who it is, Mr. Zommers.
It is Too Short with Get That Cheese.
Too Short. See, I wish I knew that guy, because it would be great. You see him on the street. Yo, Too Short. Get That Cheese. Talking about money, but also talking about cheese. It was National Cheese Day yesterday. Of course, we weren't here, so
wait,
we thought...
Wait. Todd?
What? Yes?
You want to know Too Short's real name?
What?
Todd.
Get out.
It is.
Is it really?
Todd Shaw. Too
Todd
Short.
Todd Shaw is Too Short.
So if you saw him on the street, you'd be like, hey, Todd. He'd be like, what's up, Todd?
Or, hey, Short. If you know him really well, it's just simply Bob. So that's a great thing there. It is 9 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Matt Flynn direct. However, Matt is conveniently, I guess, for him on vacation this week. So I was excited about our show going from the mornings into the afternoon and going statewide. Don't get me wrong. It's been fantastic. And appreciate our fine guests today, John Roach, Matt DeFour, and Phoebe Petrovic. But let me tell you, I am getting to host the Matt Flynn guest host, the Matt Flynn direct program here after hours, just after the news at 3 o'clock. So join me as I'll be, I feel like Joan Rivers filling in for Johnny Carson, although Joan looks better in a dress. But anyway, yes, I'm filling in the guest chair for Matt Flynn direct from 3 until 4. Cannot wait. Taking your phone calls, all callers taken, lines will be open at the top of the show. We're going to take your phone calls. I've got a few minutes left here in this hour. What is your favorite cheese? And who is your favorite cheese maker? Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Try that again, Todd. It's a new number. Who dis? Here's our new call-in number, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or to our regular listeners across the state, it's 844-96-PARTY, P-A-R-T-Y. What is your favorite cheese, and who is your favorite cheese maker? I have mine. Growing up in Southwest Wisconsin. So we are so blessed. I think Mr. Perry will confirm this. We have all kinds of great cheesemakers in Southwest Wisconsin. Do you have a favorite, Mr. Perry?
I do. I would have to say Car Valley Cheese in Laval. Yeah. And the cheese curds cannot be beat.
I know.
That's my favorite, definitely.
One of my favorites, too. Sid Cook, who founded Car Valley Cheese, know him. Great guy. Went through the UW-Madison Master Cheesemakers class. He is a world-renowned cheesemaker.
He is a certified master cheesemaker who got his cheesemaking license when he was 16.
Wow. Isn't that incredible? Great guy, Sid Cook, up there at Car Valley Cheese. I agree with you on that one, Mr. Perry. Let's go back to the lines, 844-967-2789. Stephen in Green Bay, coming to you from or coming on our new affiliate up there, WGBW. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM in Green Bay. Steven, what's your favorite cheese and or cheese maker?
Well, what I'm about to tell you is about to be very cheesy. So,
all right, fair enough.
So my favorite type of cheese would probably be like a good 10 to 13 year cheddar, the stuff that's super sharp.
Got the
salt crystals forming in it. That's the good stuff.
Great
stuff. And then my favorite cheese place, I actually have two. My first one is a cheese factory in Rudolph, Wisconsin.
All right.
You can actually watch them make cheese curds there.
Nice.
That's a process you've never seen before.
Yep.
And the second one would be Renard's Cheese in the Door County area.
Oh, Renard's in Door County.
He's also a licensed, certified master cheesemaker. And that's actually a very hard thing to get. If you find some place that has a certified master cheesemaker, try their cheese because they probably make some darn good stuff.
Absolutely. Steven, we appreciate calling back in Green Bay, my friend, and have a wonderful day listening to us on WGBW in Green Bay.
Will do. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much, Steven. A couple of great choices there. He's right. Being a certified master cheesemaker, it's very difficult. And there's science to it. There's chemistry, as well as just kind of an art as well. It's a mixture of art and science coming together. I agree, Mr. Perry. Probably for me, it's a darn near tie between Carr Valley and Sid Cook. I really like their Applewood smoked cheddar. It's fantastic. To Steven's point, a 10-year age cheddar from Hooks down there in Middle Point. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I come from a cheese family, Todd.
Do you really?
On my mom's side of the family, so her mom's family owned a cheese factory in Lloyd, Wisconsin for years. The Crarys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't inherit any of that skill, unfortunately, right. But it is in my blood apparently, so perhaps I could learn it.
Maybe a skill. Mr. Zomerins, a particular favorite cheese or cheese factory of yours?
That's tough. Right. One of my favorites, I mean, I will say I definitely agree about that extra, extra sharp cheddar.
Yeah, right. Just makes your mouth kind of water.
Other cheese like that has a stronger flavor is very nice. And the different textures of so many cheeses, there's so much artistry in the cheese.
but no particular one?
I like Pine River Dairy a lot. And mostly because of proximity, because it is based in Manitowoc.
Nice.
So it's right there. Go in and get some cheap ice cream or get fresh cheese curds, nice and squeaky. I really like their cheese dips. Like they have a port wine spread. That's really good.
Yeah, the Owl's Nest garlic cheese spread is one of my favorites too. Oh, that's really good stuff. A couple of minutes left here. If you want to call us, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. And what is your favorite cheese or cheese maker? As we are remembering and observing National Cheese Day, which was technically yesterday, but you know, hey, we're in Wisconsin, so really every day should be Cheese Day. But it's a good time to stop, as Jeff and I's former teacher like to say, Andy Spees, pause and reflect and talk about what is good in life, and certainly cheese is one of them. Let's go to the phone lines, and Mr. Zomers is typing in there. It is Andrew. Andrew in Detroit. Are you living in Detroit, or are you from Wisconsin, Andrew?
I live in Detroit.
Fantastic.
Actually, I'm from Rhode Island. Now I'm transplanted in Detroit.
What's your favorite cheese? Quick, sir.
You know, I'm looking for brick cheese. I'm looking for mail order brick cheese. We can't get that here.
Mail order brick. Boy, check out Carr Valley, or check out Hooks, or go to the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. They have a website.
Excellent.
All
right. Thank you, guys.
My pleasure. Thank you. Take care, Andrew. Gary Quick, our friend Gary Tipler. Gary, you got 15 seconds. What's your favorite cheese or cheesemaker?
Asiago Farmer John's, made by Hooks.
Oh, that's great, isn't it? Fantastic. That's a great call. Thanks, Gary. Have a great day. Thanks for listening, my friend. We appreciate all of you being on our inaugural statewide show. Stay tuned. I'm going to be on the other side of 3 o'clock filling in for Matt Flynn Direct. Remember, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.